Our first reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14. Is it on? Hello? Okay, I'm just small.
Martin, are we on?
Yes, it's on. Tiny. Yeah, okay. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable, more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. The second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 6, on page 1070. Reading from verse 16 to 24. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, may we know your presence. May our hearts be open to hear what you have for us today. And may our spirits be full of courage as we respond to what you say. Amen. I'm going to use both the passages this morning, the Ephesians and the John passage. So if you want to keep both those open, that would be very useful. And I'm going to use the passages to demonstrate how people move from experiencing Jesus to believing in Jesus and then to a deeper life, changing commitment to Jesus and what that means. And each example shows us on a deeper level, each example shows us a deeper level of commitment and relationship with Jesus. So starting with our John passage, starting with our John passage. This is a very familiar passage, isn't it? Which tells of when Jesus walked on the water. And if we flick back just a few verses in the chapter, we read how Jesus had fed 5,000 and still had 12 baskets of food left over. And then in today's reading, it continues with the crowd following Jesus on foot to Capernaum when they discover that he'd left and gone away from them. In this reading, people have seen many, many miracles. And Jesus had been traveling around the region and had healed many and had fed thousands, and they wanted more. So much so that our reading tells us that when he slipped away quietly to spend some time alone, that they came searching for him. They followed him everywhere he went. They chased him throughout the countryside. But as we know, when we get to the end, to the cross, there were hardly any of these followers left. They followed him, but only so far. And then turning to the disciples in the reading, they too had seen these miracles. They had experienced of Jesus personally in their lives. And in our reading, they witnessed him walking on the water in order to join them in their boat. And then verse 21 has another miracle which we could miss. It says, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Just being in Jesus' presence, and a miracle happens. Besides the fact that he had walked on the water in order to reach them. So the crowds, the general crowds, had experienced Jesus. They'd had good experience. He'd healed them. He gave them time. He listened to them. He told them stories. He fed them and he showed them compassion. And he talked of love. And they hoped that he would liberate them from the Romans. So he was very, very popular. And you could say that of some of the crowds that came here on Monday for our Freedom Fun Day. They didn't come in their thousands, but they came in their hundreds. And we listened to them. And we fed them. And we loved them. And we made them welcome. And they told us that they loved us and they had missed us. But when the ice cream ran out halfway through the evening, they left. They experienced Jesus' love through our provision, and then they left. However, the disciples were different. They were loyal followers of Jesus and had extra encounters of Jesus because of that. And this encounter here in verse 19 to 21 is key. You see, the lake is 12 miles long, and at its widest point is 7 miles wide. And the disciples had been rowing for about 3.5 hours, so they were quite a long way out in that lake. And John is very precise about that detail. And then the wind gets up, and they were terrified, and the conditions are worsening. And Jesus comes to them, walking on the water. Jesus comes to them in their hour of need, and he came in a significant way. You see, back in verse 14, the people, the crowds were beginning to say, surely, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And they saw him possibly as the liberator. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking towards them on the water, they saw someone very different. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, they would have been reminded of how the children of Israel began their journey of freedom as they walked through the Red Sea. Do you remember that back in Exodus? When the water parted but closed again on the Egyptians. It was, of course, Moses who led them through the Red Sea. And the crowds have just declared that Jesus is the prophet who would come into the world. The crowds are looking for this political liberator. But in this walking on the water, Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I am offering you something far greater and deeper. Moses brought the people into a new land. Jesus is leading them into a new kingdom. The crowds, the followers were looking for a liberator just like Moses. But the disciples in the boat met someone new, someone very different. And verse 21 tells us this. Then they were willing to take him into the boat. When the disciples saw this sign, the walking on the water, they were willing to let him into their boat. They had seen and participated in the feeding of the 5,000, but this encounter took their fear away. This was different and significant. It is I. Don't be afraid. He spoke to them personally. He reassured them. He knew what their fears were, and he spoke directly to what they were feeling. And as a result, they let Jesus into the boat with them. As a result, they believed, not just for another free meal, but to let Jesus minister to what they were feeling deep down inside. Their relationship now became deeper and real because they let Jesus into their lives. So the disciples had moved from experiencing, as the crowd did, to believing. This sign of freedom is an invitation to the disciples. Jesus is saying, follow me on the rest of the journey. And they believed him. And as if to affirm their decision, another miracle happens. We read, the journey across the lake is suddenly over. Immediately, the boat reached the shore where they were heading in verse 21. And all of us here this morning have made that journey too. We don't leave when the ice cream runs out, but we have walked through the doors. We have turned on our Zoom this morning. We have sat down and listened and believed. We have invited Jesus into our boat and have experienced his calming peace in the storms of our life. And we have done this because we have chosen to believe as the disciples did that night on the Sea of Galilee. We have moved from just experiencing to believing. But believing on its own is not quite enough. Believing doesn't change things. Two Sundays ago, our world was supposed to change. England was going to win the European Cup. Have you forgotten? The fans believed it and they willed it to happen. Those long-suffering, believing, loyal fans alongside those newly converted who only came for the 4 weeks. They believed it. And in the days before the match, spoke as if it had already happened. Football is coming home, was the chant. Even Tony Appleton, who heard him, our local celebrity and town choir, was on national radio, and he said, I wrote it down, England will win. I promise you, believe me, it will happen. He did, didn't he? Liz heard it. He declared that on national radio. And do you know what? All that believing was wasted. England lost. Football went to Rome. And even some of those who believed turned nasty in their disappointment. So believing is not enough. If we look at the Ephesians reading, we discover more. We discover Paul on his knees praying for the church in Ephesus. And he prays four things for them. Verse 16. Take a breath. Verse 16. That out of his glorious riches they may be strengthened with his power through his spirit in their inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, so they may be rooted and established in love. Verse 18, Paul prays that they may have power and be established with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Why didn't we sing that this morning? Anyway, verse 19, so that they would know that they would be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. This is more than believing. This is life-changing. If England had won the cup, would our lives really have been changed? But this change that Paul is praised for here is life-changing. Paul is praying here for the young Christians in Ephesus to discover the heart of what it means to be a Christian. It means knowing God as the all-loving, all-powerful Father. It means putting down roots into that love so that the love becomes the bedrock, the foundation of their lives. It means being strengthened by his power and being united with all the saints. This deeper commitment or trust, commitment, turns the believer from an individual into a family, into one of the saints, experience a love so deep that it changes lives. This deeper commitment changes lives. Now, sometimes we talk about us accepting Jesus into our lives, and that is right and good. But that can sometimes become an experience-based faith. Paul is here talking about having Christ in us. It's more of a us being in Christ, being so deeply rooted that we experience the love that is so overwhelming that it is indescribable. And when the loving God makes his home amongst us, that is what strengthens us and renews us and empowers us. Do you remember when Moses and the Israelites were in the desert? The tabernacle was put in the camp. God lived with them. He tabernacled with them. And here, this is what Paul is praying for his readers and for us, that Christ would live with us, that we would allow Christ to live in us, so that they and us would become so bound up that there would be no beginning and no end to that relationship. They would become so like Christ that they would be changed and would reflect his glory. And this is the commitment that Jesus was inviting the disciples into that night when he walked across the water to them. They have moved from a relationship based on experience into a relationship based on belief. And now Jesus is asking for their relationship to be deepened, to be based on commitment and trust. Because without that commitment, he would not have been able to lead them on. The Israelites had to trust Moses in the desert. They trusted Moses that night when they stepped into the Red Sea. So what does this mean for us today? When the metaphorical ice cream runs out, do we walk away? In other words, when life is tough, do we leave and say God does not exist? Is our faith based just on getting what we want? Is it a faith of experiencing good things only? No, we don't. We stay the course. Maybe some of us are in the boat, but getting frightened when the storms get close. Are we willing to let Jesus into the boat to take us to safety? Note, on this occasion, Jesus did not calm the storm or take them out of the boat. He got into the boat with them, and then the circumstances changed. Amen. Let Jesus into your fears and see what happens. Let him say to you, "It is I. Don't be afraid." It is way better to have Jesus in the boat with you than not. It's way better to believe than not to believe. And then that belief deepens. And this deeper commitment that we share, this total trust of the Lord that we have, leads us to be changed, to live like him. It leads us and enables us to watch the people walk away after such an event. It enables us to sit down and start planning the next event in hope and obedience. It leads us to open first steps and welcome the parents and babies. It leads us to open the cafe. It leads us to chat the gospel over coffee. It leads us to visit the bereaved. It leads us to discuss the thorny issues of life with our friends at Forge on a Sunday night. It leads us to invite our neighbours in. And most importantly, it leads us to get down on our knees and pray as Paul did. It leads us to keep going because we, like Paul, do it for Jesus. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." So let us be like Paul, and let us allow Jesus into our boat, and let our lives be changed. Amen.
Should we stand? Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power.